The views and opinions expressed on this program do not necessarily reflect those of 55KRC, The Talk Station, and Clear Channel Worldwide.
Welcome to Ballistic Radio, Cincinnati's only gun talk show. Join us. We're going to explore the topic of firearms and your rights as a law-abiding citizen. Ballistic Radio, brought to you by Kyle's Gun Shop in Finneytown, your source for premium firearms and ammunition. Now here's your host, John Johnston, on 55KRZ, The Talk Station.
Good evening and welcome to Ballistic Radio, brought to you by Kyle's Gun Shop in Finneytown, your source for premium firearms and ammunition. I'm your host, John Johnston. You guys all missed out on me doing my special wrestling announcement intro tonight, maybe next week. Remember, you can always listen to past shows at ballisticradio.com and also get some of the behind-the-scenes stuff at facebook.com/ballisticradio. It's always nice to see me argue on the internet. Anyway, co-hosting with me this evening, Mr. Andy Ulrich. Andy, how's it going?
Real well, actually. I was kind of looking forward to seeing that, but...
I could maybe I'll do it the second one, the second break. I'll right. just bust it out. I don't know. I haven't decided yet. I had something on Facebook where, for those of you that listened last week, Deputy Robin Hopkins was critically injured in a gun battle in New Mexico, October 26th now, so two Saturdays ago. We're selling T-shirts, Ballistic Radio T-shirts, at booster.com/ballisticradio. They're $20 a piece. All the proceeds go to Robin and her family. And I'll tell you what, if we sell three during this segment, when we come to the next segment, I'll embarrass myself in front of everyone. So, hi. So, anyway, tonight's show is going to be really interesting. We're talking to Caleb Causey from Lone Star Medics. It should be an interesting show as far as about combat medicine, but also some of the things that might actually be a little bit more useful to people as far as... As cool as it is to talk about, you know, how do you treat a gunshot wound or, you know, how do you deal with an amputation in the case of a mass casualty event? Yes, those things happen, and it's good to know what to do, but there's also a lot more that goes into it, and we'll be talking with Caleb in just a little bit about that. We've got some local stuff that we are going to briefly talk about. Not much, just because we sort of want to see how it plays out. But so, Andy, you're a little more familiar with what's going on in Akron right now. Do you want to?
This just kind of broke within the it's kind of been in the simmering background for a while, but really it really broke this last week.
So let's do the disclaimer here that this is what we believe to be true, but we're not claiming this is the facts. So just do your own research.
I had heard about this a few months ago, but in very secondhand nature, and it's actually coming more into light as time progresses. But apparently, it's been reported that Dick's Sporting Goods in the Akron area, this would be the Chapel Hill Mall, Dick's Sporting Goods, is currently being required to take a registration on any firearm you buy there. If you were going to purchase a firearm, it'd be a long gun, pistol, shotgun, rifle, whatever, that your name, your address, the serial number of the firearm, and your Social Security number is to be forwarded to the Akron Police Department for tracking purposes. What is tracking purposes?
I'm pretty sure it's illegal in federal law.
And state law.
Well, you know, yeah. So
if that's the case, then me personally, I would not purchase. Well, not only would I not purchase a firearm from that particular Dick's Sporting Goods until this is reasoned out, I wouldn't buy a firearm from Dick's Sporting Goods. Now, that's just I won't be buying any firearms from Dick's Sporting Goods.
Well, no. I mean, they're such a staunch supporter of our Second Amendment rights. And
so if that is
that's sarcasm, by the way, for anyone that's not familiar. they've thrown us under the bus multiple times now, and by us, I mean gun owners.
They stopped selling
evil black rifles
yeah. after Sandy Hook, which was totally misguided, in my opinion, and probably the opinion of many, many, many other people.
I will say this. I support the right to make their own personal decisions as far as their corporation and their business practices. I'm not faulting them for that. That having been said, I can control my wallet, and my wallet decides, hey.
Plenty of other places to buy firearms.
Exactly.
So, and this may be a case of an end run around state law, that's what it's looking like right now. But clearly, the law is in the favor of the gun purchaser and not the gun seller. If they want to force you to sign this to buy your gun. I'd just go someplace else.
Well, yeah.
That's not the way the law works.
And honestly, you know, I've worked retail firearm sales in the past. And if a state, city, local official, federal official came in and told me to do mm-hmm. something like that, sure. I can only guess as to how negative my response would have been to it. But, you know, we'll keep everyone updated on that as information becomes available. There's probably going to be some more information in the next week or two that we'll be able to share with folks.
And if Akron PD would like to contact us, go ahead and explain going on. We'd love to hear from you.
Yeah, john@ballisticradio.com, or you can even, if you're any Akron Police Department officials are listening to the broadcast down here and would like to call into the show, 513-749-5500. But I'm going to take that call at the end of the show, though, because we're going to talk to Caleb first, since that's the point of tonight's show. But in addition to that, we've got some other cool projects coming up, possibly. I feel pretty confident about them, but until I actually get documents in hand and signed, I'm not going to discuss them too much. But I will say this, Andy and I were trying to figure out the math on 25,000 rounds and 3 weeks? Is that what we came up with?
We're going to have to figure out how much ibuprofen we're allowed to eat in a day's time, too.
15 days? Something like that.
Yeah.
My elbows will be done. So anyway, going back to the topic of tonight's show, combat medicine. We've got a couple minutes before the break, so we'll get Caleb on right now to introduce himself, and then I'm going to interrupt him for the commercial. So sounds like a plan. Caleb, are you there?
Hey, John. How's it going, guys?
Pretty good. Caleb Causing, Lone Star Medics. So, Caleb, if you don't mind, thanks for joining us this evening. I appreciate it.
Thanks for having me out here, man.
Oh, no problem at all. Just give me a little bit of your background and tell the listeners about yourself, and then I'll probably interrupt you for the commercial.
Sure. First thing first, I've been a medic for about 15 or so years, involved in either field or tactical medicine. The short version is I started off with the Boy Scout of America program, their Explorer program right now with the ambulance service throughout high school. Did 4 years as a combat medic in the Army, deployed a couple times to the Balkan regions, and came back here, back home to the Dallas-Fort Worth area, where I was on the fire department for about 6 years with the firehouse on the ambulance, with the SWAT team as their medic, the dive team. And a few years ago, went to paramedic school down in College Station and they said, hey, well, you ought to be teaching this stuff, and come back and once you finish this and take some instructor courses. And so here we are about 4.5 years later with Lone Star Medics. And, you know, it's always a student first, though. I will tell you that. I always check my – I don't have an ego to check at the door, but I always tell my students I'm a student first, and if I do my job correctly, I think that I'll actually learn more from them than I've taught them.
Yeah, and that always seems to be a really – that's one of the attitudes that I've found that most of my favorite instructors seem to share, is the whole student first, even when they're teaching, and that's really cool to hear that. Now, we got that brief introduction, and I want to hear more about Lone Star Medics and what y'all do there, but it is coming up on the commercial. Do you mind holding just for a little bit, and then we'll get into the meat of the show? So when we come back, talk more with Caleb Causey from Lone Star Medics about combat medicine, also maybe just some more common things that you might want to be thinking about as far as learning first aid. But right now, you're listening to Ballistic Radio on 55KRC, the talk station.
Wealthy and wise, the Steve Perrin Coordinated Financial Planning Studios. This is 55KRC, the talk station.
Welcome back to Ballistic Radio on 55KRC, brought to you by Kyle's Gun Shop in Finneytown. So, right now we are talking with Mr. Caleb Causey from Lone Star Medics about combat medicine and also some first aid stuff. Now, I was negligent in forgetting to mention, happy birthday to the Marine Corps. It's 238 years now, I'm going to say. 238
years.
And I'm going to give a shout-out to my buddy Sean, who is over in Afghanistan or somewhere right now, former Marine, doing cool guy stuff nowadays, so... But anyway, so back to Caleb. Caleb, are you there?
Yeah, John, I'm here.
Perfect. So anyway, let's get back into the meat of the show. As far as medicine goes, and specifically medicine for the concealed carry holder, the gun guy or girl, or you know, whomever, it seems like that the popular thing to talk about would be gunshot wounds and amputations. And I certainly know that was my first inclination when we started discussing you coming on the show. What are your thoughts as far as treating those and how we should do the work as far as learning about that? Or are there more important things to talk about?
Well, it's they're important things to talk about. Sure, the gunshot wounds, they're kind of easy to deal with. I hate to say that, but usually our students are kind of shocked really how easy of a situation or an injury it is to kind of treat. And as a concealed carry individual, man or woman, sure, if we're carrying concealed because we're concerned about our livelihood or getting attacked or getting into a gunfight or any other kind of fight, well, the key word of a fight being fight, what happens in a fight? People get hurt. Okay, well, we can actually look and see, well, are we looking at what type of injuries are we looking at and illnesses? Are we talking about getting, you know, diseases and viruses from people when we're in a fight, or are we talking about blunt and penetrating trauma? So I would think the gunshot wounds, yes, we absolutely do have to, you know, focus in on those. An important thing is also how to identify other injuries involved with the fight. It's not always bleeding. It could be crush injuries from baseball bats or fists or elbows or knees or what have you.
Okay. So I guess briefly, for those that don't know, and correct me if I'm wrong, gunshot wounds essentially stop the bleeding via some source of pressure and or quick clot or bandaging, and then with amputations, tie a tourniquet until the paramedics show up? Is that the gist of it?
Part of it. Actually, we've learned over the past, several years now of two war fronts, we've had a lot of changes in traumatic injuries. We've had a lot of changes in it as far as in medicine, how we treat those injuries. So bleeding is bleeding. And for years, the doctrine and the textbook way of controlling bleeding has always been apply direct pressure, then we're going to apply pressure dressings, and then we're going to, if that doesn't work, then we'll apply pressure points and then elevate above the heart and all this other stuff. And then at the final last resort, if nothing else is working, then we'll apply a tourniquet. Well, I always ask my instructors back in the day, I was like, okay, well, why? And they said, well, because that works. And I'm like, well, we're wasting our time between those two, point A and point B, to where it works. And that knowledge with the two war fronts, we definitely need to keep in the back of our minds and close to our hearts that knowledge that tourniquets are our first line of defense against major bleeding, has come to us at a great expense. There's a lot of empty chairs at dining room tables across America and other countries, too, that are empty because we didn't know that that stuff worked.
Right.
So not just amputations, but gunshot wounds, if it's an extremity or, arm and leg, then, yeah, tourniquets should be, you know, something up there. It should be your first go-to treatment plan.
Right.
And they're simple to effective. And today's day and age, there's just no reason not to be carrying around a tourniquet, to be honest, but we can get to that later.
Okay.
You mentioned the quick clot combat gauze or the hemostatic agents.
Yeah.
And those are great. Those are great tools. We've had tremendous advancements in those type of products, whether it's quick clot or Celox or any of the other brands. And however, they're not the cure-all, if you will. They're not the overnight pill, like, oh, well, we'll use this, or I'll go to my local sporting goods place, pick up a package of quick clot combat gauze and throw it in the glove compartment or throw it in my cargo pocket, and I'm good to go. Well, no, they're a very good, effective tool, but they're not the cure-all.
Right.
So regardless if it's amputations or severe gunshot wounds, there's a right and a wrong way to apply those products.
Okay. So, and this seems to be a standby of the show, but securing good training from a knowledgeable source would be your best bet as far as really learning this stuff. Obviously, we're limited in a 40-minute radio show. You mentioned crush injuries and things of that nature. Do you mind getting into that a little bit and maybe why you think people don't pay as much attention to those when they're discussing these things just on the fly or on the internet? And I know that's the source for everyone's knowledge these days.
True. There's a lot out there on the internet. I'll give you that. Some of it's what we all know. Some of it's kind of comical, and some of it's just kind of like, wow, okay, that's actually really good info. So I won't try to tell everybody how to decipher that. That's just, hey, we all know the better, and hey, get your training from actual instructors. Go pay your money. Go sit, put your butt in the class and sit down and get your learn on.
Do work.
I'm sorry?
Do the work.
Actually, absolutely, do the work. Now, with the crush injuries you mentioned or that we were talking about, sure, everybody wants to talk about gunshot wounds. And I always, especially because we have a good following of concealed handgun owners and our license holders and stuff in our classes and prepared citizens, and they always want to know, how do we identify and treat gunshot wounds? What do we do about gunshot wounds? What are we going to do about them? And I said, okay, that's great. We'll cover it. We'll cover it in a class. And we'll, you know, talk tourniquets and the hemostatic agents and whatnot, pressure dressing, and the chest seal. But then we'll also talk about, okay, well, let's make sure it's applicable information or applicable medicine that we're learning here. A lot of CHL holders will say, okay, well, we want to know about gunshot wounds. Great. Well, I'll ask students in a class of 15, 20 students, and I'll say, okay, well, how many of you were involved in a gunfight or saw gunshot wounds within this past year? And with the exception of a few LEO or some folks just getting back from overseas in the military, not really too many hands are going up. But if I ask them, I said, okay, well, how many car wrecks did you see this weekend or this week? Well, almost every hand in the room shoots up. And when I say crush injuries, I mean, that's what I'm talking about with the blunt trauma. Crush injuries mean, like, instead of a baseball bat or a bullet hitting you, it's steering columns or your dashboard. Or other cars, that type of thing. I mean, sure, motor vehicle accidents and collisions are really high up there. I think there's somewhere around CDC, somewhere around the number two leading cause of death in America is blunt trauma. So it's not near as sexy as, say, gunshot wounds and bleeding and getting to use a tourniquet and the pressure dressings and the quick clot products, but it's still very applicable. So I always want to make sure that, hey, whenever students come to different classes or when they go to other instructors, be sure you're learning medicine that's going to be applicable and apply to you and your environment and what you're expecting to learn how to do.
Okay. We're talking with Caleb Causey, Lone Star Medics, about combat medicine and medicine in general. Now, you bring up learning things that are applicable to you. And I was recently accused of indulging in fantasy land scenarios by someone that I found to be kind of amusing, actually. But in general, it seems like a lot of people don't focus in on the things that they might actually use more often. What should people be working on then as far as learning about those? How do you treat like a crush injury then as far as for a car accident or something of that nature?
Well, it's kind of a loaded question, no pun intended.
Well, I try those. It's kind of my job, you know.
Exactly. No, when we're talking about crush injuries, you know, we're talking about something like a car wreck, for example. Well, there's a lot of mechanisms, what we call in the medical field, mechanisms of injuries or mechanism of injury. And what caused that injury? Well, the vehicle. Well, it was the fact that your body was traveling 60 miles an hour, and then it came to a complete rapid stop. So you've got a lot of possible internal injuries because your organs are still traveling at 60 miles an hour when your body stops, let alone the vehicle, the seatbelt, then the automobile itself. Then there's the oncoming traffic, say it was a head-on collision, or, you know, then you've got the other energy of that other car coming into it. So that whole physics and kinetic energy equations, they start really starting to take into play here. So not wanting to get too in-depth with that because math is not my strong suit. I'm not about to start talking about equations on a radio station on live air.
No, it's okay. I've run into problems on the show before with math. We've got about a minute and a half, and we'll get into this more after the break. But basic, simplest explanation, what should you do if you come across someone in a car accident other than dial 911 and get the ambulance on the way? What do you do then?
Well, always seeing safety. Is it safe for you to be running around that area first off, that's what I always teach students, is does it seem safe for you to be running around trying to help other people? If you get hurt, you're not going to help anybody. Second of all is controlling major bleeding. If they're bleeding outside of anywhere, it used to be airway breathing circulation. It's now changed to circulation airway breathing. Circulation meaning, are they bleeding? No. Okay, well, we've controlled bleeding. Then do they have a pulse? If they don't have a pulse, you give them one by doing CPR.
Okay, so what next then? So we've established, we've gotten them to the point where they have a pulse again, and we're mm-hmm. still waiting on that ambulance to show up. Man, they're taking forever. What's the next step?
We continue to reassess your patient. If we've checked to make sure they're not bleeding, they have a pulse, okay, make sure that they're breathing, and you can look, listen, and feel. We can talk about that if you can give details later if you want. Make sure that they're breathing, that their airway is patent, that they have an open airway, whether they're breathing through their nose or their mouth, and that they're getting adequate ventilation in there. And you'll know that by hearing it and feeling it, and we can talk about how to assess that if we have a little bit more time.
All right.
And then it's just a constant reevaluation of that. If they got broken limbs, then sure, I'm a big fan of using the body as its own anatomical splint.
Yeah.
If you have to move people.
Right. And we'll get into that real quick. It is time for the break. But when we come back, we'll talk a little bit more with Caleb about some of the things that we can do to maybe help save our fellow human beings if we're put in that situation. But right now, you're listening to Ballistic Radio on 55 KRC, the talk station.
Hey, it's Brian Thomas, Monday on the Morning Show. Of course, Monday Morning Spoon Event with Dad. Tune in at 7:05, KRC, the talk station.
Welcome back to Ballistic Radio on 55 KRC, the talk station, brought to you by Kyle's Gun Shop in Finneytown. Right now, we are talking with Caleb Causey from Lone Star Medics. If you have a question about anything at all, such as tonight's winning lottery numbers, perhaps even, Caleb might be able to help you out. But probably not, actually. He can tell you to drink water, though. But call in 513-749-5500 or 1-800-823-8255. We'll try and get to your call at the end of the evening.
You have a bottle of water beside you.
I do have a bottle of water beside me. Caleb, are you there?
Yes, I'm here, guys.
Do you have a bottle of water beside you by any chance?
I do. So, practice what I preach, actually.
Well, and for those that don't know Caleb, and I'm not going to pretend that I know Caleb a lot, but you're kind of known as the drink water guy on the interwebs. Do you mind telling that story real quick or where that comes from?
Sure. The short version is I usually get asked by people, it's kind of weird for me. They always ask, oh, wow, as a medic of 15 years, you've probably seen a lot of messed up stuff and, a lot of gory and, horrific accidents and bodies mangled, and they're like, well, I've seen my share, but they said, well, what's the grossest? What's the worst? I'm like, well, honestly, it's been losing patients just because they don't drink water, heat stroke. It's not glorified or anything. It's not pretty, and their body just cooks themselves, and there's nothing really in the field you can do. I mean, you can give them an IV. Well, yeah, we can. But the way you cure heat stroke is time and cooling the body. And unfortunately, as a medic out in the field, you don't have a lot of means to treat or cool the body off. So, or sometimes a lot of time to sit there. I mean, we're talking like days, 3 and 4 days sometimes to cure it.
Right.
Of just keeping that body temperature cool. But it's the easiest thing to prevent, and it is just drink water. And I would say probably 90% of my patients over 15 years have to some degree been dehydrated, and it just complicates every other injury or illness. Even if they're sick with the flu or some, they've got an infection on their leg or something, it just complicates the heck out of everything. And it's like, man, all you have to do is drink water.
So that's kind of your tagline these days.
Yeah. And it kind of started off as a joke. It's kind of a funny thing with some of my close friends. And my students started hearing me, yelling at them, hey, drink water. You ask any corpsman or medic from the military, and they'll tell you, yeah, take Motrin and drink water.
And anybody that's been through any basic training at all should remember the dread command, drink water. That
was my
favorite at the end of the night. anyway, for those that are not as amused as I am by this topic of drinking water, we'll get back into the show topic. We were talking about how we help people if we come across an injury such as a car accident, and to just sort of generalize and hit the bullet points, hey, another pun, before we move on, make sure you're in a safe place. Don't do anything that's going to get you injured as well, because then the first responders have to deal with you also. Establish an airway and a pulse. Establish a pulse and an airway and kind of go from there.
Sure. I mean, we're going to continue to look at the patient and start to assess them. If you already start to assess a patient, that's probably the hardest thing to teach people, is either they're healthcare professionals or non-healthcare professionals, a layperson, is, you know, just overall, what is your general appearance or impression of that patient? Do they look sick? You know, you can tell when you look at a stranger, like, oh, they don't look too healthy, or if they're sick or ill or injured. If they're injured, they're guarding something, like they broke their arm, they're guarded, they're holding it up to their chest. They don't want anybody touching it. They don't want anybody moving it. But also, if their clothing or debris is hiding those injuries, you have to be able to find those and locate them, and that becomes a balancing act of, okay, do I cut their clothes off and start looking for them as a layperson? How's that going to look? Here I am cutting off all those strangers' clothes. I really don't know what I'm doing. Versus, hey, okay, I can see that their leg is bent 90 degrees the wrong way. I can help by just making sure that leg doesn't move.
Right.
So if it's a car wreck or something on the side of the street, road, or the freeway, there's really only so much you can do, even as the medics and on the scene, where we all have our limitations. But if you do have somebody with a leg bent 90 degrees the wrong way, then sure, just help stabilize it and just hold it there for them, or protect other people from bumping into it or anything, and bystanders trying to snap a photo of it or something crazy.
No, yeah.
Don't get me started on that.
I've seen it.
But yeah, and it's like, really, put the phone down and help me.
Right, right.
But trust me, you help me out, you'll have a better story to tell on Facebook, okay?
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, and then if they're broken, then leave them there. If you have to move the patient, I'm really big about teaching people how to do drags and carries and patient movement, because it may not always be a safe place to be doing a lot of patient working on the patient.
Yeah, burning vehicles tend to explode occasionally.
Yeah, and they do that quite frequently.
Yeah, yeah.
They can. It's not typical. I honestly, in 15 years, I've never seen a car explode because it crashed. Somebody usually, there was some type of accelerant or something. Somebody intentionally tried to blow it up.
Right.
As a civilian anyways. A little bit different overseas.
Well, I used to be a firefighter, and if you found a car on fire, it was because the wheel bearing caught on fire or something like that. It wasn't
right.
From the crash. I never saw one that hit something and exploded or caught fire from a impact.
I've actually seen that before.
Yeah, it's rare. It's very rare.
Oh, yes. I know. I'm always lucky that way. It seems that bad things tend to happen around me. But
yeah.
anyway, so moving on, we've got a couple minutes, and this is my favorite thing to talk about, and I know you and I discussed it a little bit, but thoughts on caliber. You've dealt with gunshot wounds. How important is caliber selection, and how effective are handguns on the human body? I'd like to get a medic's perspective on this. You're welcome.
Yeah, thanks, guys. I appreciate it. No, I'll be honest. I mean, as a medic, let me put it this way, as the good guys, and judging by our audience here tonight, I would say yes. If you need to save your life by stopping a threat, and you need to stop a threat, get a rifle. You know, now unfortunately we all, not unfortunate. It's fortunate we live in a country where we don't have to walk around carrying a rifle, going to our stores or going to the mall or our daily lives. We don't have to.
Right.
We have that right, and we need to work and be diligent about maintaining those rights, I'll tell you that much. Very pro-Second Amendment, by the way.
Right.
But if you need to stop a threat, use a rifle. Handgun calibers, they're small. What they do to the human body, that's why if you've taken defensive firearms training, you know that, hey, we're aiming for that cardiovascular triangle. You know, from about nipple to nipple to the base of that neck, that's where your heart and lungs and major, body parts are. That's what you want. That's what's going to stop the brain from working. Well, it needs blood. Well, we can stop the blood flow. So put as many rounds as you can, make as much holes and leak you need to stop that threat. Let me put it, be a little bit politically correct here on it.
Ah, it's okay. So, in general, though, the people that get hung up on 940-45, not much point to it. That seems to be what the category I fall into these days. It doesn't matter that much. I was just curious as to your take.
My take is more the merrier. More bullets, more better. As my late friend Paul Gomez said, he said, hey, more bullets is more better.
Yes.
And I agree absolutely with him.
I have to say that's my biggest regret, is that I was not doing this when Paul was still alive and had a chance to talk to him. I'm going to interrupt real quick just because it's that time again, but when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more with Caleb about some of his upcoming projects and also answer some listener calls. And apparently I'll try and get this frog out of my throat, too, on the commercial break. Right now, though, you're listening to Ballistic Radio on 55KRC, the talk station.
Glenn Beck.
This will blow your mind.
Tomorrow at 9:06
on 55KRC, the talk station.
Welcome back to Ballistic Radio on 55KRC, the talk station. Brought to you by Kyle's Gun Shop in Finneytown. If you'd like to talk with Caleb Causey from Lone Star Medics, or me, your host, or Andy, my co-host, you can call us at 513-749-5500 or 1-800-823-8255. No one on the line right now. So let's get back with Caleb. So Caleb, you've got some upcoming projects that actually sounded pretty interesting to me when we were discussing them before the show. I'd like to hear about those real quick, but I was just curious to get your take on something that Andy and I were talking about on the break. Andy brought up, and I kind of agree with this, that for all of the concentration that people put in on shooting skills and things of that nature, would you say that some of that time could be better spent learning sort of some of the things like medicine and other things that might be more useful on a day-to-day basis?
Sure. Of course they are. I mean, it's one of the things, for example, one of the things that my buddies and I, when we go out to the range and make it an actual training day, is, okay, well, we'll run a drill and or whatever that course of fire or whatever we're trying to practice on, speed or accuracy or the trying to figure out that bridge to combine both of them. I still haven't figured it out myself, but with shooting, is we'll throw in, okay, well, if you mess something up or if you're the slower one or while your buddy's reloading, can you drop down to, can you put on a tourniquet one-handed before they get reloaded? Well, of course, that's pretty quick, some of us, but little things like that to integrate some of the medical training and practice in with your shooting practice. That's one little tidbit that we try to do is, okay, well, and you start learning real quick, carrying a tourniquet on me first has to take place, and how I'm carrying it, what type of a tourniquet I'm using, and is it effective? But there are little tricks of the trade to do that. But I treat the whether it's through my company or another company or another instructor, you do need to get the training, but it's make sure, again, it's applicable training to what your environment, what you're trying to, cure, if you will, and treat. But it's just like the firearms instruction. You know, everybody's quick to go out and buy the IFAC, the individual first aid kit, or some type of kit, throw it in their car or throw it in a range bag, and they think, hey, I'm good.
Right. It's
the exact same thing as a firearm. I mean, how many of us, when we first started shooting, I mean, we've all been down that road where, hey, we went out to this local gun store, and we picked up our first Glock, and we kept it at home, and we thought, yeah, I know how to use this thing. And we had no clue, and God forbid that, knock on wood, had we had to use that to defend ourselves from a concealed position, and whatever kind of setup and rig we had, we probably, it could have turned out pretty good.
But, or maybe not.
Or maybe not.
It's interesting, too, because I'm lucky because I actually get to hang out with people that are good with a gun, like Robert Vogel. Guys like that. So it's kind of nice that I've got that constant reinforcement of I don't actually know what I'm doing that much, and maybe I should work harder at it. For people that have listened to the show and decide, hey, maybe medicine is something that I should be taking a little bit more seriously, this is also an important part of the equation. Why don't you tell them about your new project? And this is going to be the first public announcement of it, you were telling me, or...
Yes, it is. I thought, hey, when we were talking to you, the other day. I said, "Hey, is it cool? We kind of use and abuse you guys for this."
Oh yeah.
But yeah, this is the what we've got going on, and I'll just go ahead and come out and say it if you guys want me to.
Oh yeah, please.
We are hosting the 2014, the first, hopefully, annual Field and Tactical Medical Conference, and it's basically a 2-day conference, March 29th and 30th of next year, held in Dallas, Texas. And we've got a list of about 20-plus instructors from the industry, from this kind of, if we want to call it an industry, it's more like a bunch of buddies. We're all colleagues. We technically, we're competitors, but we all talk on the phone and email each other like, hey, how'd this work? But
right.
We've got a whole list of different instructors to come together and teach different little subjects and subject-specific things, and not just a lecture. It's hands-on. We talked to each other. I said, guys, I don't want to bring together a bunch of people just to talk about how cool you are or your products, your classes, or how much you know. I want you to teach and do hands-on. And we've got everybody from the Patriot Nurse talking about some prepper medicine stuff. We've got Nate Morrison with Morrison Industries, Terry Davis with Dark Angel Medical, Bill Lewitt with Tactical Development Group, Morgan Atwood of BFE Labs talking about the survival medicine. Sherman House with the People's Dentist, he's a dentist. We've even got dental work. So
yeah,
if you're out backcountry in the woods hiking or backpacking with the family or hunting and you, for whatever reason, chip a tooth, how do we deal with that? Or how do we make sure we maintain proper dental hygiene? We've got a veterinarian, a surgeon that's a veterinarian who's going to come up and actually show us how do we deal with canine emergencies. I mean, I'm a dog lover, and, well, if there's, you know, our target audience is not just prepared citizens, but law enforcement and healthcare providers. The cool thing about this conference is that each instructor, we're teaching at two different levels. They'll teach twice throughout the weekend. One is at the layperson's level, and the second is going to be at the healthcare provider level. So for all the EMTs, paramedics, doctors, nurses, and et cetera, each instructor will talk and speak at each level, and the cool thing is, as an attendee, no matter if you're a layperson or a professional, a healthcare professional, you can attend either one of those. So if you want to come to, say, Dr. Wrinkle's class on how to do a surgical airway, well, then sure, you're going to cover that, but as a layperson, if you want to learn to do that, sure, come on out. You want to learn how to do suturing? Come on out. You're going to learn real quick that maybe it's a little bit beyond you and all the little details involved, and it'll be at a healthcare provider level, but you'll still get exposure to it. But we're covering a lot of different subjects and not themes, I don't want to call them themes, in those 2 days. And it's just kind of a round robin of, hey, you pick and choose who and when you want to go listen to them or learn what they have to offer.
Okay. So how much is that going to cost people, and how would they get registered?
They can go to LoneStarMedics.com, and one of the tabs at the top of the screen should have the conference, and you can start looking at the conference page there and scroll down. You'll see you can click some about halfway down the page on the bios of each instructor. We're constantly adding more bios and more subjects and more instructors to the list, but then there's the PayPal account there you can to pay for it all. Right now, between now and January, I think 15th is where we mark it. It's only $200.
That's a great deal.
That's a steal, that is.
Yeah, we thought, hey, we all love doing this. The instructors, the list I came together, you know, we're passionate about doing this. We want the information to get put out. So whether if you're a law enforcement officer, some of these classes are good for CE hours. In Texas, it's good for T-close hours. We're working on EMS CE hours for healthcare providers. But, yeah, $200, it goes up as it gets closer to the date just to kind of motivate people to get signed up for us.
Right,
but it pays to be a winner.
Well, and that seems, I've seen tactical conferences before where you see a lot of firearms instructors come together, and those are great, great things. I can't remember anyone doing something like this before. This is pretty much the first one of its kind, isn't it?
From what we can tell, yes. I've asked the other instructors, hey, have we got anything like this? And it's either been at the layperson's level or it's been at the healthcare provider level, and it's usually for EMTs and paramedics and doctors and nurses, but it's never been, hey, well, how do we deal with this stuff combined? But all in one weekend, I don't know of any. I'm not saying we're the only one out there because there probably is, but it's a very unique group. I can guarantee you that. It's something that we've all said, no, we don't know anything else about similar to this event. And it's something that we all agree, like, we want to get the information out there.
Right.
This is a very important subject, and these are good instructors.
Well, and for, you know, the people that listen to the show know that I go to a lot of training classes, and I'm a fan of training. At a certain point, you reach a level of proficiency with a firearm where, yes, it's always good to be better, but you might want to think about concentrating on the things that you're maybe not as good at or not as knowledgeable about. So for anyone listening, $200 for a two-day class on something that is statistically probably a little more useful, there's no excuse not to try and make the time to do that if you're the type of person that travels. Aside from that, Caleb, do you have anything else going on? Is there anything else you want to talk about? We've got about a minute left.
It's just, you know, I always try to encourage students and folks of all walks of life, please get out there and, you know, train more. I mean, that doesn't stop. Go to these other companies and go to these guys and these instructors and get their training. I think on the freeway here in Texas, they've got a sign that says 2,600 fatalities on the Texas roads this year so far.
Yeah. So
the boogeyman's out there.
Yeah, you know, it's good stuff to learn. Hey, Caleb, thanks so much for taking your Sunday to talk with us. I really appreciate it. It's that time. So you enjoy the rest of your night, okay, Caleb?
All right. Thanks, guys. Thanks, John and Andy.
Hey, no problem. So next week we're going to be talking with Justin Schneiders. Now, probably very few of you know who that is, but Justin was involved in a gunfight where he was shot 5 times at close range. He's a normal guy. And hey, it happened to him, and he's going to tell us a little bit about that experience. Remember, check us out, ballisticradio.com, facebook.com/ballisticradio, and hey, buy our t-shirt to support Deputy Hopkins, booster.com, Ballistic Radio. Everybody be safe, enjoy your evening, listen next Sunday, 7 p.m. right here on 55 KRC, the talk station.